The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy is never comes to an end. There are new, there are new, there are new, there are new. We have studied in Romans chapter 5. You remember that we deem our obedience to God's will, we deem it as a gift of grace. We deem it. That means we know we are not this your simple act, we deem it as a gift of God. This your faithfulness in the ministry of Jesus, we deem it as a gift of God. We deem it as a result of God's faithfulness. That's it. He's the one at work in us. He's the one at work in us. Normal youth don't do what you do. This is a result of God's power at work in us. So don't think that God is weak in you. Don't look for the power of God in materials. Don't look for his power in how much you have in the account, how much, you know, in the types of things around you. Deem this your act of obedience as also a result of God's power. That's God's power. That's God's power. A man that can live all for the sake of the ministry of Jesus, that's God's power. Glory to God. Great is your faithfulness. And we sing, great is thy faith. Amen, amen. Thank you. Be seated, everybody. Thank you. You know, at times we have to visit our old songs. Some of them are very awesome. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Vantela, Randall, Stoker, Vantela, and there. Glory to God. My eyes runs to and fro to know who I am missing. Quite a lot of them. Okay, 1 Timothy. You know why I'm laughing? Okay, is it doing singing is finished work? And somebody was saying, I have forgotten Timothy. The friend is trying to tell me that he's not Timothy. Is it not Timothy? Is it Timothy or Timothy? Huh? So I'm pronouncing Yoruba all this way. I should call you false Timothy. When I'm pronounced Timothy now, I will be feeling guilty, you know. You want to agree with me? Let us call it the same thing. Amen. Okay, 2 Timothy. Ah, it's not working. Chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. Sister Grace, God will avenge for my case. 3 verse 15. Are you there? Okay, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, no, that is actually a lot. That means before you should make a conclusion, before you should take a stand, okay, on any Bible concept, before you should take a stand, no, a stand, like, before, Rasami, are you with me? Before you should take a stand, before you should make a bold move on any Bible subject, or in anything as touching Christianity, have you checked all scriptures? Have you checked all scriptures? That's the point, all scriptures. So he's saying this is the purpose of all scriptures, okay? All scripture. Please, don't worry if you are out anywhere. Just go under the AC. You are free to spread yourself as much as you can. I mean, if you feel out, that side is cool. And just want minimum interference. So see that. That means before I say anything out of the outburst of emotions, have I checked all scriptures? Are you with me? Have I checked all scripture? Because God is saying, this is the manual for ministry, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished for all good works. This is the manual for ministry, all scriptures. That means I must not just sleep and wake up, have a dream, and use that one to judge the church or to relate. I must not just think that some people don't know how to relate. Some people don't know how to. And it's not. And it's just because we disdain all scriptures. All scriptures. That is what I keep saying, that the manual for Christianity is not yourself. Some people want us to always preach it, something that lines up with what is there in their mind, okay? Like, if he does not agree with what is in my mind, then he's wrong. Who says so? Who says so? No, he said all scriptures. That's why, as much as we are doing all we are doing this way that looks crazy, we do our best to ensure that we are not trying to back things up with scripture. We are trying to follow scripture. Like for instance, as much as we are doing a lot of things that looks crazy to a lot of people, we do our best to ensure that we are not just trying to do things, then we use scripture as a supporting striker. No, scripture takes the lead, then our actions follow. Scripture takes the lead, our actions follow. For instance, we have seen that the work of the ministry, one of the last series, which I can't remember this topic. Where is Sister Folakemi? Can't see her anywhere. Yeah. So, one of the things that ministry was compared with, remember ministry was compared with a farmer, right? A farmer that is an husbandman, right? What is the second one? A wrestler. For instance, to be candid, in the sports world, anybody that this lockdown makes to relax. I mean, how do I put it? Anybody that refuses to keep exercising himself, his body. Maybe you are a footballer or you are a wrestler during this lockdown. By the time everything opens, the person is going down. You will go down so seriously. So that means, although everybody is saying right now that stay at home, a wrestler, a boxer, what must he keep doing every day? Find a punching bag every day. Punch. And guess what? That is what ministry is compared to. People that don't give up, people that don't have breaks, people that values the preparation more than the presentation. You remember that? I think we discussed that some days ago. People that values the preparation more than the presentation. An athlete. Imagine calling yourself, you want to be a Usain Bolt, and you are eating panediam 10:30 every night. Big panediam, pounded by Ojut, with some soup, cooked by some Igbo people in my house. You know, you are done. You are done. You won't get it. And what's the third one? Athlete, wrestler, and who? Athlete, a soldier. So, look at the things that the work of the ministry is compared with. That means anything I am doing that looks like, oh, in your presence, everything goes. That is unlikely to be the ministry of Jesus. We pick our authority from where? All scripture. See all scripture? Yeah, that's where we pick our authority from. We pick our authority from all scripture. So it's not at times some people just think my idea. That is my idea. That is how I feel it. Who says? Who says we must agree with your idea? Who says? Remember when Brad Devine came initially? Sir, don't worry. We are ready, sir. Is this way, sir? Yes. Oh, yeah. This is the way. Yeah. Is this way? Yeah. It does not always have to. The pastor is a man of God. I'm still coming to that today. He's a man of God. That means he's not going to necessarily say what is in your mind. He's not going to necessarily preach what you like. Okay, let's start today slowly the way we should. Proverbs 12, verse 13. We have been studying engaging unbelief. This is series 2. This is part 2 right now. Did part 1 on Friday evening. We don't proceed a bit further because I want those who are having exam to close and study more. And most likely I'll be having a short meeting with everybody that is currently in training after service. So again, thanks again for keeping safe in these times. Thanks for limiting all you have been doing, and thanks for progressing in the work of the ministry despite all the challenges around. It's not easy on the physical sense. You really have to see a city whose builder and maker is God for you to do all you have done. Okay? And that's the figure of speech. Hope you get what I'm trying to say. That means you really must have seen a purpose in God. So things like this is to shake people. Actually, it's to shake us. It's to sieve people. So where do you stand? It's to sieve people. And right now, because of, hope you know, if you're not careful, it's possible for you never to have listened to three sermons in the past 2 months. Before you know it, the day will pass. The next day will pass. It just be going. It will just pass. Before you know it, it's 2 months and you are told nothing's done spiritually. Before you know it, you are already convenient with sinners being around you and you can't preach to them. Before you know it, from entertainment you have entered perversions using that thing called a mobile phone as your tool. I miss the days when the only browsing phone is SendoX. Remember SendoX? SendoExtra. When you must steal Opera Mini sheets. Steal, okay? Before you can browse. Now, even if you don't say, if you say you're not browsing, MTN will give you free data. I hear they will borrow you. How can a believer be borrowing data? Borrow. What do you pay for data? You borrow before the thing has finished. And you borrowed. To do what? Good question. Not to download message. I don't think so. Yes, it's very different. Send message. If they are not borrowed data to download it, the thing is heavy and I refuse to compress it. Or is there a pastor? This is your message. I will send somebody some link. They will be asking for credits to download. Why didn't you make it so small? I said, well, it's so that it can still be relevant in the next 10 years. Okay, all those very super over-compressed stuffs, some new gadgets will not be able to handle it. The format will be low HD. Sorry, that's not part of the sermon. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13. Proverbs 12, 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his... Proverbs 12, 13. I'll tell you when I start service. Okay, since they say service must be 1 hour, right? I'm coming to church. No, I'm betting now. So when I enter church, I'll let you know. So when I'm about to start, I'll let you know. You understand? So Proverbs 12, verse 13. Don't quote me. Okay. The wicked is snared by the what? Transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. He's trying to say something. See verse 6, verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Can you see that? So see the common thing in verse 13 and 14. The wicked is sneered by the transgression of his lips. Lips, okay? So like we said a while ago, everything that man needs for life has been given to him of God, okay? Everything that man needs for life, the transgression of the lips. Everything that man needs for life, it has been given to him of God. Everything, life there means for eternal life, okay? Everything man needs for eternal life, it has been given to him of God. It has been given. I will do my best to be, for now, to be taking the sermons step by step. I will not just be looking at the face of Brother Michael, since he understands everything I'm saying. I will be looking at the face of what Jesus looks like at times. So that I can slow down, because at the end of the day, what we are trying to achieve is not Psalm 1 done, Psalm 2 done, Psalm 3 done. Is the word of God? Where is the destination of God's word? Where is the destination of God's word? Talk now, roots now. Where should God's word? Where must it be? Is it in the Bible? Where is it in your heart? So God's word is on a journey to happen. Where is the destination? Your heart. Thank you. That's the point. That's the destination. So preachers, ministers, let's just do our best. Since we have sworn to raise ministers, let's raise ministers. Let's raise ministers. Let's put the word in the heart. Check again. Check again. No worry. No. Thank God they didn't say we cannot. They didn't mention the number of times we can meet in a week. So you can meet tomorrow, meet next tomorrow. Just keep meeting and repeat the same thing until the day done and the day start what? Arise. Hallelujah. So see, he said a man is satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. So see Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. Romans 10, verse 8. But what seeth it, the word is near thee. See that? The word is near thee. It's not far from you. Okay? He's saying the word is, he's talking to it. Although Paul is not talking to a sinner here, it's an evangelistic teaching. That's the way he writes, okay? For instance, when he's writing in 2 Corinthians 5:19, 5:20, that ye reconciled to God, he's not trying to say they are not born again. That's his an evangelistic teaching pattern, okay? He's teaching, but it's just evangelistic in the approach. So the same thing is here. He's writing to saints in people who are already saints, okay? But first, to make things clear to them that this is the reason why you are saved. See, so he now said in verse 9, if thou shalt confess, sorry, what's here? The word is near thee, even where in thy mouth. Brother Divine, that mouth there, is it physical mouth or spiritual mouth? Are you sure? Check that. Spiritual is there. Spiritual mouth, right? You see? I've confused you and that what? Confused. No, it's physical. Where do you have spiritual mouth? Because you have listened to watch Ibo film so much. It's something like spiritual mouth, okay? So, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy physical mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Let's read verse 10. Help me. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto. So if you see that physical mouth, not spiritual, and you say a man shall be satisfied with the fruit of that mouth. That mouth, life and death is in the power of the lips, right? This is what he's talking about. He's talking about the salvation plan of God. Life and death, with the mouth we confess, and right, we confess unto righteousness with the mouth. Are you with me, sirs? So with the mouth, not spiritual mouth, then also the heart to believe, to once believe. How difficult could that be? So I wrote this in my note. I said, God made it so easy that you can do it almost without knowing. Please write that down. God made it so easy to believe, or so easy to be saved, that you can do it almost without knowing. It's possible. God made it so easy that you can do it almost without knowing. With the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God made it so easy that you can do it almost without knowing. Almost. See James chapter 1. So you can do it today and forget tomorrow. That does not mean you are not saved. You can do it today and forget later. That does not mean you are not saved. That does not mean you are not saved at all. You can do it today and forget tomorrow. It is when we continue that we are called unforgetful. That's different. Continuity is spiritual growth, not salvation. Continuity is spiritual growth, not salvation. See James 1:22. Continuity is spiritual growth, not salvation. I show you, when you are writing your note, write it in the way that you can use it to preach tomorrow, okay? And that's why I work on my own speed too, to ensure that you can take it. I am running nowhere, like I have said repeatedly right now. Okay, James 1:22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be an hearer of the word, and not a doer, is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Let's read verse 25, help me. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Amen, amen. Praise God. So write this down. Doubt does not mean a man has not believed. Must first talk about doubt this morning. Doubt does not mean that a man has not believed. Doubt does not mean a man has not believed. Very instructive. Doubt does not mean, you know, at least most of you on evangelism should have seen the proof of that so often. At times you just preach to somebody, he's on fire, he's on everything, and you come back in a while time and it looks like, what is this? Doubt does not mean a man has not believed. Doubt is just humanity reasoning out divinity. Write that down. Doubt is when humanity, okay, is reasoning out divinity. When man is using his brain, mental calculation, to reason out God's power. Some people, they are saved, but they don't believe they are saved. You know, you should have seen a lot of that in your evangelism, right? They are saved, they don't believe they are saved. That is doubt. So how can I call myself a new creation? I knew what I just did. I knew where I'm coming from. I knew what I've been doing all week. How can I say I'm saved? So doubt is not actually, doubt does not disqualify a saved man. Doubt does not disqualify a saved man. No, it doesn't. Rather, doubt is a fruit of insufficient teaching. Doubt does not disqualify a saved man from salvation. No. But doubt is a fruit of insufficient teaching, insufficient comprehension, insufficient understanding, insufficient comprehension, insufficient teaching, insufficient understanding. That's doubt. That's doubt. That's doubt. Insufficient teaching, insufficient comprehension, insufficient understanding. So, doubt may look like unbelief, but unbelief is different. Doubt may look like unbelief. Doubt, it may look like unbelief, but it's different. It's different. I will differentiate between the two. Then I will now explain that. So in doubt, okay, a man would have once trust. In doubt, a man would have once trust, but does not understand that faithfulness of God in Christ. In doubt, a man must have once trust, but he still does not understand that faithfulness of God in Christ to save. That's doubt. A man wants, he wants trust, but he does not fully comprehend the faithfulness of God in Christ to save. Whereas, in unbelief, a man takes a stand against God's faithfulness in Christ. Whereas, in unbelief, a man, what he does is, he takes a stand, he speaks against, he is contra to God's faithfulness in Christ. Now, I'll show you some scriptures right now. He takes a stand against God's faithfulness in Christ to save. That's unbelief. So, in doubt, somebody must have once trust God's power, but he does not fully understand. And that lack of understanding can be expressed at times in his word. But that deliberate vendetta against God's faithfulness is unbelief. See Galatians 2.20. Galatians 2.20. I will stay on this a bit. I proceed. Galatians 2.20. Are you there, sirs? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth where? In me. I'm sure you are there, please. Again, let's read again. Verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now look at that. So what does he mean when he says, I live by the faith of the Son of God? Now at times, it may look like I live by Jesus' faith. So people would think that, okay, Jesus too has faith, okay? So I'm living by Jesus' faith. Yes, you are right, but there's a better way of seeing that. Write this in your note. I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God. I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God. That's what he's saying. He's saying the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God. Don't worry, I will explain this thoroughly this morning. When you are done, go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Hebrews 10, verse 38. What's the name of this man of God again? Rajoshua, right? Jonathan. Awesome. Long time. Happy end of lockdown. Wes is strange. Wes, okay, Sister Aina is not around. So Hebrews 10:38. Okay, now the just shall live by what? By faith. So you just wrote by faith. It may look like, okay, you will live by faith. You guys, we need faith to live. But, well, keep reading. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. 39, want to go. But we are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So the question is, the just shall live by faith. Whose faith? Go to Galatians, you know. These people, you will not make me preach the gospel again. Gala, whichever. Just put Gala there. Gala 3:11. Galatians 3:11. So the same scripture, we see it here. But that no man, are you there? Is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident for the just shall live by what again? By faith. You still have it in one more place. That should be Romans 1, right? Verse 17. Well, let's just read Romans 1. 17 will not really be sweet without 16. Romans 1, 16 and 17. Well done, well done. These are scriptures that you should, they are your anchor in evangelism. Your anchor should not be all I have seen and come short of the glory of God. Why are you? Your anchor should not be sin, okay? Your anchor should be God's love. Amen, amen. Say God's love. Hope you don't preach again like how to follow each and every one of you emergency and see how you are preaching. Hope you don't preach again like hope you know in when Adam sinned, all of us sinned, and so therefore God now, so all of us are worthy of death. Therefore God now sent Jesus. So hope you don't talk like that again. Divine, when last do you preach to somebody? Be sincere. This is your family. When last? Let's say, do you ship it or preach? You open Bible. When last do you open Bible? Somebody, one on one. Not in church, not exam. When last do you open Bible? Friday. Ask it. Thank you. So, preaching is not cheap. Keep it in. Open Bible, okay? So don't go the way of the way we do it then, okay? Then I know I have some Ajabi, you know, put Romans 6:23, then you now go to John, say, okay, all I have seen and come to the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is dead. Full stop. We won't read the other one. And then you now go to, therefore, run to God. Relax. Jude, OTP. That is Hebrews 10:27. It's appointed for man once to die. After that was judgment. Relax. And if you don't listen, wow, our God. Yeah, God is there. No, relax. So in preaching, what you are there to talk about is God's love, God's faithfulness. That's what I'm looking at today. So I said, go to Romans 1:16-17. Want to go? Yes, sir. Of the gospel of Christ. For is the power of God unto salvation? Who? For everyone that believes, to the Jew first, then to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. For it is written, the just shall live by faith. So, you know, just by faith. The just shall live by faith. And so this can actually place a demand upon you if you are not careful with that. Okay, go and have faith. You need faith. Come on, divine, you need faith. You need faith. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Oh, good news. The faith is not yours. Let's see where this scripture is from. Habakkuk. The Baba that can cook very well. Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2. Where it was taken from. It has one further clarification. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. Open the light, I'll make good. It's not gospel. What are you saying? Lord to the Lord, Lord the people. Habakkuk 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, for no lie. No, I know when Rita reads this one, you'll be seeing vision in Avengers. Well, no. And not lie, though it's tarry, wait for it. It will surely come, it will not tarry. How can it be? You know, we have used this for your planting business, right? The vision is coming. When it shall appear. Don't lie. Most of you have used this thing for plenty of things. Hallelujah. That's your husband. It's not husband, wife you are looking for. That's your husband. When she shall come. Oh, God. So don't it tarry. What must you do? Wait for it. Awesome. Wait for her. She shall surely come. You go stay there. She will tarry. But see verse 4. Just like, that is why it's context, okay? Verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up. Pride, unbelief is not what? Upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. Say his faith. Now, so his faith there is not talking about your personal faith. He's talking about the faith of the vision. The man that is called vision. Hallelujah. You saw that vision took his name from one of the names of Jesus. So like I wrote in my note, vision there will refer to the Savior and his work. Vision there will refer to the Savior. The Savior will come, he will not tarry. He will come to save. Amen. That's why they sang that song. You know, from Isaiah, he will come and save you. He will come and save you. Say to the weary one, your God is. But today, he has come and he has saved. He has come and he has saved us, right? Remember that scripture that Esther Yunus read in our song? For Zion's sake, will I not rest until the righteousness goes forth like the lamb that burneth. So that is the promise of God to save. The promise of God to save. I will do a new thing, right? It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? Oh, rivers in the wilderness. Isaiah chapter 14:19. Huh? You don't know it again? Or you never knew it? Amen. Say, I will do a new thing. That new thing is coming. Hallelujah. Say, he has done it. So that's the new thing that God is speaking about. He has done it. That we sing. You don't just say, Savior, you can move the mountain. Well, that mountain has been moved. Amen. Praise God. Behold, the lamp of God that takes away the sin of the world. The mountain has been moved. So, So he said, the just will live by his faith. So we live by his faith. Or better still, we live by his faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, in the Greek, that word faith is a Greek word pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S. It's right there down. P-I-S-T-I-S. That's the Greek word of faith there. That's the Greek word of faith. P-I-S-T-I-S. P-I-S-T-I-S. That's the Greek word for faith. Pistis. So it means, credibility. It means credibility. It means reliance. It means constancy in a profession. Constancy. Constancy in a profession. It means fidelity. Don't put bank. It means fidelity. It means faithfulness. Fidelity, faithfulness. In fact, it's written as the character of one who can be relied on. The character of somebody who can be relied on. That's faith. The character of one who can be relied on. So, we can say we are saved forever by God's credibility. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We can say we are saved forever by God's credibility. By God's constancy. By God's fidelity. By God's faithfulness. We are saved by God's credibility. By God's constancy. We are saved by God's fidelity. We are saved by God's faithfulness in Christ. Amen, amen. So, most of the time, KJV, we just put it as faith, just everywhere. But context has a better say, okay? Context has a better say. At times, KJV, we just put everything as faith. But at times, faith is not all just faith, is faithfulness. It depends on what context is saying. So at times faith can be seen, write this down. At times faith can mean ministry, okay? At times faith in the Bible can mean ministry. And when you are saying the Gentiles are subject to the faith, that is salvation. So faith can also mean salvation. And at times faith can mean faithfulness. It can mean any of the three. It can mean ministry. It can mean salvation. It can mean faithfulness. So there's no blanket meaning, okay? There's no one meaning for all. It can mean ministry, it can mean salvation, it can mean faithfulness. Are you sure it's not the credit, man of God? Because since the people upstairs are still talking. Okay, see Acts 17:31. Acts 17, verse 31. Okay, because he had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Guess what? That word assurance there is pistis. Are you looking at your Bible? The word assurance in that place is that is also faith. So you can be saying he has ordained, whereof he had given. You cannot even use faith there for it to work. He has given credibility unto all, or assurance is just the best. He has given assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead. See Galatians 5 verse 22. I'll be a bit fast in this area. It's just to look at some scriptures. See Galatians 5 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, faithfulness. That faith is faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Say, God works in me to be faithful. Say, God works in me to be faithful. So that's the fruit of the Spirit, okay? The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. See, Galatians, let me read Galatians 2:20 for you from ISV translation. So we are saved because we trust the faithfulness of God in Christ. Write that down. We are saved because we trust that faithfulness of God in Christ. That's why we are saved. That's why we are called saved, because we trust the faithfulness of God in Christ. That's why we are called saved. We trust the faithfulness of God in Christ. We trust it. It's not a cliche to us. It's not just one. It's not a bedtime story. Okay. It's not a tale. We trust God's faithfulness in Christ. We trust it. We trust it. We rely upon it. It's not just a fancy story. How do you put it? It's not a fanciful story. I think I will get there maybe later. Okay. See Galatians 2:20. I no longer live, but the Messiah, I'm reading ISV translation. I no longer live, but the Messiah lives in me, and the life that I am now living in this body, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me, amen, amen, and gave himself for me. Verse 21 said, I do not misapply God's grace, for if righteousness comes by doing what the Lord requires, then the Messiah died for nothing. Let me read it again so I can let it sink in. He said, I no longer live, but the Messiah lives in me, and the life that I am now living in this body, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God. That faithfulness is demonstrated in who loved me and he gave himself for me. 21, I do not misapply God's grace, for if righteousness comes about by doing what the law requires, then the Messiah died for nothing. Are you getting that? So clearly, you can see he said, but I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God. That is why we say God has done what he says he will do. That's faithfulness. Are you with me? He said he will come and save, right? And he truly came and saved. That is faithfulness. Say, God is faithful. Say, God is committed to his word. That is what Hebrews 6 is about. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, that we might have strong consolation. Strong consolation. Who has fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope that we have as an anchor for the soul, both what? Sure and steadfast. Hallelujah. That's the hope in Christianity. Sure and steadfast. Say, God has done what he says he will do. Say, that is faithfulness. Thank you. So, faith of the Son is faithfulness. The commitment of Jesus to save, that is the love of God. His commitment to save, that is the love of God. So, when you are reading the scripture, anytime you see what God did for us, okay, we call it faithfulness, not faith. Please. So anyway, you just saw faith, but it's about what God did for us in Christ. Try and call it faithfulness, not faith. Faithfulness. God is faithful. Faithfulness, not faith. Ours is faith. Like, ours is faith, trust. God's own is faithfulness. That is being trustworthy. Sorry, I'll take that again. Ours, okay? Our own part is what faith, which is what we trust. We trust in what he did. His own is faithfulness, which is being trustworthy. Glory, glory, glory. Are you understanding, sirs? Romans 3. Let us see. I will rush that one so that we can progress. Romans 3. Are you there? Come on, verse 22. Come on. Well done, well done, well done. Nice writing. Some people get new Mac plus one now for printing well. Romans 3:22. Are you there, sirs? Thank you. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say faithfulness. Yeah, because it's not talking about you now. It's talking about Christ, right? Yeah, that is not saying Christ had faith. No, his faithfulness unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference. See Galatians 2:16. See Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. We are justified by his faithfulness. Even we have believed in Jesus. You can see. So that belief, that is our own, okay? We believe, that is our own faith in his faithfulness. Are you getting this? What is man's duty? Faith. What is God's duty? Faithfulness. So, see that by the faith of Jesus Christ, by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faithfulness of Christ. Hallelujah. And not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. This is one of the scriptures that opened my eyes to the subject matter of eternal salvation. See Galatians 3:22. Galatians 3:22, but the scripture had concluded all under sin that the promise by the faithfulness, okay, not just faith, of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Faithfulness. Go to Philippians 3 verse 9. That is Galatians 3:22. Go to Philippians 3 verse 9. Philippians 3 verse 9. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which come through the faithfulness of Christ. Not the righteousness that comes by trusting in the work that he did to save us. In the faithfulness of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well done. Which is of God by faith. But the first one, that will be faithfulness of Christ. See 1 Timothy 1. I will show you some two other shades. 1 Timothy 1:14. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. See, you can see that faith and love. Where is it? In Christ. So our first, and that is by the reason of what he did for us. Same 1 Timothy 3:13. I will ask you this one. Let me know who will get it. 1 Timothy 3:13. 1 Timothy 3:13. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Faith there will mean what? Ministry. Awesome. Yeah, too basky. Awesome. In the ministry which is in Christ Jesus. So go to Titus 1 verse 1. Well done. Almost there. Titus 1 verse 1. Paul is servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faithfulness of God's elect. Yes, faithfulness of God's election and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Let me explain this. Wow, this is so cool actually. He's saying faithfulness of God's election. Who can explain election again? Who remembers? Don't allow the work of Pastor Jeff to burn before your eyes. Who can explain election? Come on, anybody? Paracletus, what is election? Para, election, not PDP, APC. Election in the Bible. Feel free, come on, you can. Sir? Eriti, election. No, Henry, first thing, there's a reason I called it. Just think, no, don't reason too far. There's a cheap reason I called it. Our God is sovereign in salvation. No man can question his design and his pattern election. You understand? What is election? Election is Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. This is the perimeter of salvation. Election. So that means, you know, and the prophet did not use a lot of figure of speech to describe it. For instance, he said, Jacob have I what? Loved. Esau have I hated. It's not God that is speaking, he's a prophet, okay? It's an utterance. That is integration, right? Okay, so Jacob have I loved, Esau have I what? Hated. To say that God can have a choice and you have nothing to say. In fact, they use the case of Pharaoh for the same thing. Say, oh God, Pharaoh, for this sake, I have raised you up that I may show my forth my power in you. Yes. So what is election? Election means God has a will. It means God has a desire. They will say that one man's what food is another man's what? One man's food is another man's what? Yes, Taros, welcome. of course, we need you so much. So one man's food is another man. So that means you say me, I don't. Oh God! Like, remember the example? Remember the example I should use for that in church? You say, how can some people be having bull legs? How can some people be having bull legs? One man's food, and you cannot question it. Some people say, no. Some people, their own thing is, they tell. Some people say, peace. They call single. You know of single. Yeah. Say, have you seen that brother? It's just like the bottle of Gouda in there. But that's the man. Yeah? One man's food. That's it. So what is God's food? Jesus. Hallelujah. Election. So in salvation, that means anybody I called saved after my pattern. Who are you to say otherwise? So election is not that God has said, church divide into two. Everybody in my left hand, you are saved. Everybody in my right hand, you are not saved. No. Election is that God has a way. No matter how terrible you are, if you are found in that way, you are saved. Hallelujah. Can you go and invade the house of maybe Inspector General of Police in Nigeria, or maybe that's too small. Go to the house of the military ruler, one of the commanders in the army. Say, sir, I came to discipline your child. Your child is not behaving well in school. I have come to your house to discipline him for you. You know you won't survive. You'll be treated as a... So that means no matter how bad he is, he is at home. He is my son. In Akure, we have some aburi that no matter what you have stolen, no matter what you have done, just enter that community. Just enter... Just enter Jamaican, all those areas. Just enter. Once you enter, you are safe. Because around you is people of like passion. Amen, amen. So also, no matter how bad a man is, once you just put that cloth in Christ, what do I say? It's a new creation. All things are possible. But I saw him in the beer parlor. Shut up. Sorry, it's not my fault. I'm sorry. I don't like it too. Because I mean, how can we do our best to be decent all the days of our life and somebody that yours, yours is some people in heaven, like Snoop Dogg. And they come and say, Padia, that's it. Dear God, why do you?
And no, God used a lot of parables to teach this. I will get to that maybe in teaching ministry.
You know the parable of the man that went out, hired laborers? He said, I promise you 1 penny for your wages. So some people were working since 6 a.m., like Brother Stephen.
6 a.m., working, laboring. We are the owner. We are the finance. We are, now we get out.
6 a.m., he was laboring. The man also went out to hire some people by 9 p.m. in the night. About 6 in the evening. Come and work. So those ones, they just came, okay. Maybe they just came, no, they just arranged the shovel. You have been carrying pong pong. So the guy just picked shovel like this, bah. And the guy is ready to pay. He paid everybody what? The same amount. The people. So it's not fair, right? So I said, why did I come early? So the people that now came early now say, sir, it's not fair. We have been borrowing the weight of the sun and the heat all day. He said, will you tell me what to do with my money? When I called you, how much is the agreement? 1 penny a day. Simple. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say salvation is for all. That's just it. So that is election. So thank you. Going back to Titus 1, verse 1. According to the faithfulness of God's election. That means in God's election, God is faithful. Telling us that whosoever agrees with God's medium of justification will never be rejected. So you say, this Christian, he renounced his faith when he said, come, deny Jesus or else we kill you. Say, and the guy denied, but he still killed him. You don't understand salvation. God, you see, God became a man, came to suffer and die. So the threat of one Boko Haram now says, No, of course, I'm not teaching you to go and that's not my teaching. But like I love to say, in chemistry, some reactions are called reversible. Some are called what? Irreversible salvation. God's too late. Just like how, and nature teaches us a lot of that. He said in Jeremiah, he said, can the Ethiopian change his skin color? Who remembered? Or the leopard, can he change his spots in his feet? What can practical do right now to become like Brother? Amen, amen. You know, if you have fear, there are things you can do to become like us, right? But if you are tall, maybe walking some people make short people tall. So it doesn't reverse it. So we don't know how that can happen. So anyway, hope you wrote that down. I said, telling us that whosoever agrees with God's medium of justification will not be rejected. God will not disqualify based on any criteria. So he's now saying, okay, according to the faithfulness of God's election, see the next word, and the acknowledging of the truth. So I can say that latter part, that is our own faith in God's faithfulness. So once I see the faithfulness of God's election, my duty is now to what? Acknowledge the truth. Amen, amen. Praise God. That means seeing God's faithfulness, I agree. That's salvation. No? Salvation is to say, yes, God is faithful, and I agree with him. That's it. God is faithful, and I agree with him. James 2, verse 1. Sorry. James 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Okay? So, let me explain that to you. James 2, verse 1. Okay. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. That means what we see in Christ, the same way there is no preference in how God demonstrated his love to us. Same way there is no preference, okay, in how God demonstrated his love to us. Same way there must be no discrimination in God's love, in how we showcase God's love. Same way. So he's saying, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. So the same way we don't see preference, okay, in how God demonstrated his love to us, there must not be discrimination too. There must not be preference in our love for men based on their status, rich and poor. No. Either you are rich or you are poor, everyone is accepted in Christ. No discrimination, okay? No preference. That's what he's saying, teaching. So, same thing we see in Christ, we demonstrate to today. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. So, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Now, see this one. Through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Who can give me a better word for righteousness there? 2 Peter 1 verse 1. Come on. Simon Peter is a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith. Wow. Ooh. So, where did you obtain the like precious faith from? Huh? Okay, in that sense, with us, through the righteousness of God. Who can give me a better word for righteousness of God there? Faithfulness of God, yes. Another word? Sir? On the account of, yeah. Another word? Justification, awesome. I say through the uprightness of God. Wow. Or through the commitment of God. Uprightness. Commitment. Same thing, faithfulness. You know, when we are singing about healing, we can remember that our song, God has never failed, he will never fail, just don't doubt. Yes, that's healing, okay? I remember this, my redeemed song. He will do what he says he will do. He will do what he promised. I can see. Walking in my favor. He will do what he says. We do. Hallelujah. So you also know this one. You know what I'm not saying that. Just what he says he will do, he's gonna fulfill every promise to you. Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. Okay, so now it's okay, thank you. So clearly, when you are singing stuff like that, all the songs I just sang, they are not wrong. But ensure you are not talking about salvation. Salvation is not God will do what he has promised to do. No. Salvation is not. If you sang that as David, you are right. Okay? If you sang that as Prophet Isaiah, you are right. Amen, amen. If you sang that as Jeremiah, as Abraham, yes, you are right. Abraham said, don't worry, the Lord himself will provide a lamb for the burnt offering. Today, you are not to say, the Lord will provide. The Lord has provided. Amen, amen. Praise God. So the tenses has changed from future tense to what? Past tense. Hallelujah. Say it's done. So, but of course, at times when we are trusting God for health, trusting God for progress in ministry. You know, I was there was a song that my wife was saying, okay, somebody in church texted me that this song that I keep singing of this end, that give us the grace to give us pillars of also take our hands and lift us up. So come, make us pillars in your house, O Lord, anointed and useful and full of good works. Let us always give us the grace to be used. You must know that we are not talking about salvation. So when we are saying things like give us the grace, it's not everything that we should work, okay? It's not everything that is wrong. But know that we are just talking about that zeal for service, okay? That passion for service. Ministry. That's when you can see go clap. So you can still say stuff like, see what Paul said in Ephesians 6:18. He said that utterance may be given unto me. He said, pray for me that utterance will be given. That's ministry, not salvation. Are you getting me? So that means in your imagination. So it's not, yes, a lot of songs that really issues are people that sing everything, they just mix everything together. They don't know the dividing line. Salvation is an area that you don't dare to tribalize. Don't put emotion. It's not emotion. It's faithfulness. Amen, amen. Say God is faithful. Say he has done what he said he will do. Thank you. So that's the point. But when we are talking about ministry, because hope you know ministry is not yet done, right? Or is everybody in your street? Are they all saved? Oh God, thank you, Father. It's done. Glory to God. They go and let's go and preach. Yeah, Pastor, don't worry, it's done. Hallelujah. It's done. Glory to God. Kubwa, saved. Saved. Just like this. You know, I just wish I can declare. You know, it's good to be able to declare that. Just maybe say we like that pattern. Just Mandela, all of you, saved. Amen, amen. You will labor, you will talk, your salary will finish, you will. So ministry is labor, okay? And labor is not done. Labor is ongoing. It's in progress. Say, even Jesus didn't say, pray that the Lord of harvest will what? Send forth laborers. He didn't say, no, they are sent. They are here. They're in my belly. No, they're not in your belly. They are still unbelievers. You must get them saved and discipled. Where did we read last? 1:1. See Romans 1:8. Thank you. The faithfulness of God. Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So, that's the same thing. It's just like our faith is simply our agreement with the faithfulness of God. Go to John 6. I said our faith is simply our agreement with the faithfulness of God. Our agreement with this faithfulness of God. See John 6 verse 32. John 6, verse 32. Hope you have learned something today. Because I have not gone anywhere in my notes, and I have to spend some time in my heart. John 6, 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now, so they are saying, okay, do what you are saying. See verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall what? Never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall what? Never thirst. Why? So, but I say unto you that you have seen me and you believe not. Let's see 37. This is the reason why the person will never thirst, will never hunger. The same word he used for the woman by the well in John 4. He now said in 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Rashi, in verse 35, why will the man never thirst? Rashi, why will the man in verse 35, why will he never thirst again? No, don't be spiritual. Stay contextual. From where we have read right now. Rashi makes in verse 35 now, He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Why? From all we have read, from just what we have read. Awesome. So from 35. Yes. Why will a man never thirst again? No. Look at, you have almost answered it before you miss it again. Why will the man never thirst? When we are teaching, reason along. Don't write. Don't just write. Reason along. Brother Michael, help us out. I know you will. Yes? Sit down, sir. I will in no wise cast out. Amen, amen. So that means, why will my salvation be forever? God's faithfulness in Christ. So when he's saying all that come to me, so to come to him is to agree that God is faithful in saving man. God is faithful in forgiving man. That's it. To come to him is to agree that God is faithful in saving man. God is faithful in forgiving man. Simple. 38 now. Let's read more of God's faithfulness. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Let's read, come on, 39 and verse 40 together. Pastor Nat, welcome. We missed you so far too. 39 and 40. 1, 2, go. Let's read. Yes, sir. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which on him. Oh, good. What is the meaning of all this now? I'm scattering my church. Where do you say by the last 39 and 40. 39 and 40 again. Want to go? And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given unto me, I should lose nothing. Amen. Raise it up on the. So who is not to lose you? Who is not to lose you? Christ, amen. So even if you want to, so if by any means, let's say, Brother Samuel, now your friend that went to Jamaica came back, he came back. The guy now tempt you. Now backslide. Who should we blame? That's the interpretation of the utterance. Who should we blame? Your friend came from Jamaica. You have steadfast. So you know your friend, and you now came with a Jamaican babe. Right? Gave you money, tempt you, gave you. Later you start taking weed. Now, in fact, you know, very shy. Now start taking weed. Now backslide. Sailor. As I say, sailor, we down. So who should we blame? Let's read again. You found my hand, Pastor. Let's pray. Verse 39 again. 1, 2, go. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last. Drama. That will be. So, in case you go back to OAU right now, and the temptation was so much, everybody around you is just crazy, Okwe is doing her own, bashing you, everybody is on serious, and you just backslide and you went to hell. Who should we blame? Christ, simple. He is the one that said, happy is happy. Happy saying that. Okwe, oh. Glory! Hope you know that is actually a lot of relief, actually, if you understand that. See, I must lose nothing. So that means the Father told Jesus, hope you know that she may say, he will only come to church once in 3 months. Okay? Did you say yes, sir? So let me know the list of the requirement to save him right now. Write it now. So you just put all the lists. Okay, I have to go to which market? Where's that market? Where things are cheap? No. Goza. I must buy Tatase, buy Rodo, buy Chombo, and all the pepper thing. Atari, what else? So Jesus will now write the list of the ingredients he needs to ensure that no matter what he does,
in salvation will still remain there. Not submit the list to God, God will not give Jesus money for market. How will Jesus do? Go and buy. Amen. Why do we said at times we said we have some paints? Like in my place of work, there are some things that once you paint it, if that color remove, the painter is in trouble. They will ask you, this aviation warning signal, what do you need? Okay, I need this chemical, I need this paint, this spec. You now come, you paint it. You have been told ahead of time that this thing will be subjected to a lot of harsh weather, amatown, what else, sunlight, etc. So no matter what happens to it, it must not fade. That is salvation. This salvation is odeshi. So it came with its own odeshi. Has it? Come on, see verse 40. What's that name? Verse 40. Let's read verse 40. Want to go? And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And who will raise? I will raise. Somebody say, no, don't sleep. Rapture can happen at any time. Who is coming to raise you up? Don't worry, I am to sleep. Somebody is coming to. That's why the story of the 5-10 virgins is not talking about you. Can I get to that later? I didn't even know if you have thought it before. I think you have thought virgins. I've thought in this show before. Praise God. So there is God's commitment to the man which he demonstrated in Christ. That's the point. There is a God's commitment to man which he demonstrated in Christ. That thing that you saw God did in Christ is actually irreversible. So, you are not the when you go on evangelism, most of the time the question is the fact that if somebody believe in Jesus, you say you believe, right? Okay, what if somebody denied Jesus? Firstly, that question is unreasonable. If you want to ask the guy, do you want to deny Jesus? Don't deny him. So the point is that again, there is a positive plane that has a requirement that has been met. We are not saying you cannot deny Jesus, but God is faithful to ensure you don't go. Because salvation is an agreement between God and His Son. You are only a beneficiary. Somebody will say, well, that is to old man against his free will. Well, when you commit offense and they throw you in prison, do you have free will to come out? Huh? But do you want to come out? Not you. But what have they put in place? Tall fence. Right? Barbed wire. You can't climb. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just like imagine having a son like Henry T during that lockdown. And in fact, there was a place I was where I had a lot of big people, just some very cool people around. When they said, and them, you cannot even drive easily because then their children will be riding bicycle up and down the street, stop everywhere. But immediately they said this, that corner was out. You know what happened? That place became a graveyard. Everybody was in their house. Quiet. Even the TV, they lower it. I didn't know the the corona. They lower it. You will not see a human being outside. You will not see monkey now start coming from the bush. Monkey now start feeding the streets. Monkey dead, etc. So if your baby says that, no, I must go and flex my life outside, what will you do? Yeah, it's a spank. You don't understand it. You shame the baby. You shame it. You shame it down. Amen, amen. You go to see now, he's trying to come again. You shame it down. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, clearly, now, all I just described right now, somebody say it's not fear. It's not my fault. That's what I read. It's election. That's God's design of salvation. Thank you. See 1 John now, 1 verse 10. I was going to end this first time. Well, first session. 1 John 1 verse 10. You know, they say we can be holding church services, but they didn't tell us the number of times. So start one, start another, stop one, start another.
until the day dawn and the what? The day star arise. So that's our closing time. When the day dawn and the day star arise. Okay.
So that is why Romans 10 will tell you that say not in your heart that God never did what he says he will do. You remember, right? Say not in your heart that who will come to from above to bring Christ down. That means don't say the incarnation did not happen. Hey, don't say it.
I was praying to a guy 2 days ago. I was saying, guy was reasoning like, how is this just that important? I said, guy, so what is today's date? Nope, your God has given you a lot of evidence. This year 2020, something 2020. So that 2020 means what? I said, I don't know. Why didn't you bother to know? Is it 2020 from creation? I said, no. I said, 2020 when? I have heard of BC and AD before. Something like that. I said, what is the meaning of BC? I don't really know. I said, okay. BC means before Christ. I said, AD means after death. I said, even the 80s, okay? The 80s. When he's writing death, he writes 2020 AD, after the death of Christ. I said, God, an event happened in the world that that unknowingly everybody will just have to bow. And you won't say God that God never gave you a witness. Hallelujah. Praise God. The witness is everywhere. If you are a Muslim, although some of them have their own calendar too, but they still know that it's year 2020 AD. Praise God. Amen, amen. Say God has done what he said he will do. So that's what Romans 10 is saying. Say not in your heart that the incarnation did not happen. Then also say not in your heart that the resurrection was a lie. So see 1 John now. 1 John 1 verse 10. Of course, you should have understood 1 John from membership training. 1 John 1 verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Can you see that? So we make him a liar. We make him a liar. Okay, again, let me say this. Unbelief is to call a saving God unwilling or incapable of saving. Please write that down, please. Sorry. Unbelief is to call a saving God unwilling or incapable of saving. That's unbelief. Don't forget, the topic is engaging unbelief. Unbelief is to call a saving God unwilling or incapable of saving. So that's what we are seeing in 1 John 1 verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, past tense, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Let's, of course, you should understand what this place is talking about. Let's read from verse 6 to 4 so see it a bit more clearer. Well done. I know you are writing. Must finish this one before 10. Okay. 1 John 1 verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Okay? So please write this down. To say we have not sinned is to walk in darkness. Okay? To say we have not sinned is the same thing as to walk in darkness. This is just contextual analysis. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light. Sorry, I know you're writing. Sorry. If we say we have not sinned, say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie. No, verse 6 is saying we lie. Verse 10 to also say we lie when we say we have not sinned. So lie is common. There was the common other subject there. To say we have not sinned and to walk in darkness. Okay? Sorry, you should understand what I'm saying. If you understand simultaneous equation or I don't know what you did in school. So, to say we have not sinned is to walk in darkness. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. So, if you integrate verse 7 with what we have been saying, that means to walk in the light would be to say, okay, that, oh, I want sin, I need redemption. Okay, and verse 8, if we say we have now, see verse 8. Verse 8, we clarify it. If we say we have what? No sin, okay? We deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So this is a man that is denying redemption. So to say, this man is not speaking, he's not quoting 2 Corinthians 5:21. No, he's not saying, I am the righteous of God in Christ. He's not saying, Christ has taken away my sin. No, he's saying, me, I don't have sin. I don't need redemption. I don't need the blood of Jesus. Verse 9 now says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? So, to refuse to confess our sin will be to deem God unfaithful in his plan to save. Please, just write that down. Sorry, I'm fast. Sorry. So, to refuse to confess our sin will be to deem God unfaithful in his plan to save. Again, to refuse to confess our sin will be to deem, D-E-E-M, God unfaithful in his plan to save. But to confess our sin will be to walk in the light. So that time you saw there, to confess our sin is actually a figure of speech, okay? It's a figure of speech. Ultimately, it means also to believe the gospel. To believe the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4, how Christ died for our sin. So if you say you have no sin, then you are denying the fact that Jesus died for what? Your sin. Are you getting that? Are you getting that? You're not able to write everything down, but you got the concept. So to say we have not sinned is to say that I don't need the blood of Jesus. Okay? That means you are saying, and Bible said, salvation is the fact that Christ died for whose sin? Our sin, according to the scripture. He was buried and he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. That is 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. So to say you have not sinned is to deny what Christ came to do. John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God who does what? Take it away. What? The sin of the world. So to say I have not sinned is to claim that Jesus death does not matter to me. He died for himself. He didn't die for me. So that's what that place is teaching. So again, I'm going to verse 10. If we say we have not sinned, okay, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So again, to confess our sin is a what? Figure of speech, and it means to believe the gospel. Praise God. So to make him a liar ultimately is to refuse to acknowledge that we are a candidate for God's redemptive power. Write down the ones you can be fast. To make him a liar, but Michael, help me with the keyboard. To make him a liar is to ultimately refuse to acknowledge that we are a candidate for God's redemptive power. To make him a liar is to call God unfaithful. To make him a liar is to call God unfaithful. So clearly, what you have been saying since. Now, get this clearly. Okay, let me wait for you. Sorry, well done. Oh Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, we have those unsure of God's faithfulness in Christ. And we also have those who blatantly denies God's faithfulness in Christ. They are different, okay? Some people are unsure. They have heard, they have believed, but they are unsure. The first person is a doubter. The second person is an unbeliever. So we have those who are unsure of God's faithfulness in Christ. But we also have those who blatantly denies God's faithfulness in Christ. One is a doubter. The other is an unbeliever. The one who is unsure is only a doubter. But the one who denies is an unbeliever. So what we call unbelief, it can be passive in the sense of a mere antagonist, okay? Somebody that is just antagonizing the message, and antagonist. Somebody like that, we only speak against when he meets a preacher. Just that's unbelief, okay? It can be a mere antagonist, somebody that he speaks against when he meets a preacher, but it can also be active in the sense of a preacher of false doctrine. So it can be passive in the sense of an antagonist, somebody that when you teach him the gospel, he rejects it. But we also have preachers of false doctrine. That is active unbelief. Active unbelief. So in Engaging Unbelief, this series, we are going to learn how to approach this different type of people. Okay? So we must be ready. We must know the task ahead of us. We must not subscribe to sentiments. We must be ready. We must know the task ahead of us. We must not subscribe to sentiments. We must not subscribe to sentiments. We must not subscribe to favoritism. No. Truth is always truth. It's constant. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. This is the truth that we have all submitted to. So we must not subscribe to sentiment in how we defend the truth. We must not subscribe to sentiment in the way we defend the truth. No. So lastly, for right now, Jude 1 verse 3. We must not subscribe to sentiment in the way we defend the truth. Jude 1 verse 3. Say God is faithful. Say God is faithful. We're done reading. We take that song and just pray for some minutes. Why is it that? Why is it just that? Then we progress. Jude 1 verse 3. Let's read. 1, 2, go. Yes, sir. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto. Say, earnestly contend. So, please, so in receiving the call to ministry, remember you are a man of God. Remember, always remember you are a man of God. If God has sent you, you are not a man of the people, okay? You are not a man of the people, you are a man of God. Remember you are a man of God. Remember you are a man of God. That means you serve man in what God has said. You serve man in what God and with what God has said. In what God and with what God has clearly outlined. In what God and with what God has clearly outlined. You don't go and serve people what they like. You don't teach what will make people happy. You don't teach what we basically agree with and what is in the heart of people. You just, your job is to serve men with what God has given you, okay? Just like if somebody said, go and give somebody Indomie. Don't go there and give spaghetti. No, God said, give Indomie. Serve with what you are given, okay? Serve what you are given. Earnestly contend for the faith. We are not men pleasers. We don't do worldly hero worship. No, we don't do any worldly hero worship. We are not men pleasers. We don't see people that are rejecting the gospel because it's my uncle, it's my this, it's my dad, it's my father, it's my this. People who don't value the ministry of Jesus, and we are trying to sympathize with them. We are trying to, no. Scriptures are clear. We must take a stand. Anywhere scripture says we take a stand, especially for salvation, for ministry, in things like that, we must take a stand, okay? Salvation ministry, you take a stand. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Take a stand against legalism, against prosperity gospel. These are many more we are going to see. As we progress in this series. Pray in the Holy Ghost, everybody. Thank you. Just keep sitting. Pray in the Holy Ghost.